Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And I am over the target, ladies and gentlemen. How do I know? Because my communications are systematically being disrupted. You heard my interview yesterday with a prominent person, gone. Can't talk to people. We have Sarah Westall on, and we've had trouble connecting today. Surprise, surprise. Just one of many. So we're over the target. I think you're coming to the right place because we're getting the right guests. Hey, we're coming to you from the Noble Gold Studio. And in this day and age, the dollar is being debased by this war, and the banks will follow and they will fail. Dodd-Frank 2010 says they can keep it. Your retirement's with the bank, 401k, IRA, they'll keep that. Noble Gold can convert all of this under your control and they can help you. I've been a customer for 9 years. No pressure. Just results. 877-646-5347. 877-646-5347. And they are the only sponsor for this interview with my friend Sarah Westall. Sarah, great to have you back on the show. we are, I in our pre-air discussion, Sarah and I have kind of come to the conclusion together. We're coming to a real nexus point. With what's coming in the future of this country. I mean, major things are coming before the summer. And I had a conversation with Paul Preston last night. I can't repeat most of it, but it's paralleling the same path. Sarah, you've had some interesting interviews lately, and I'd like you to share some of the contents of some of these interviews that you have had. And I think they're very telling.
Well, it all came out this week, this past week. Oh, I'm going to start with John Mark Dugan. He's the one that was the sheriff deputy in Florida, and he had the Epstein tapes. He was a sheriff deputy, and then he left there because he had an issue where he was helping minorities that were being targeted, and he got into prison. He tells the whole story. But anyways, make a story long story short, he ended up doing whistleblower activity and he was saving videos for people. And the lead detective on the Epstein case gave him all the videos. And this was in like 2012 time frame, something like that.
What was
And
Epstein being investigated then by the feds?
that's when he was being investigated. It was the big investigation. Yeah.
Okay.
And so he just came out and told the story about how all the people he was in the sheriff deputy office, or he was knew everybody then and the police because he was helping people and he was doing the whistleblower activity. And he said that the people in the sheriff office and the police department all knew what was going on, and that the head of the sheriff, what was it, the lead investigator was the one that said helped set it up and cover it up. You got to listen to this interview. It's really incredible. But during the interview, the big deal was that he had all these files on a tape. MI6 tipped off the Times of London, and that's how I learned about the fact that he had it. And we did, this was back in 2020 time frame, and we did a show on it. But since then, the Russian government found out that he had these tapes, and he gave the Russian government a full copy of these tapes. And I'm like, well, I aired the interview and I said, I have no involvement with this, but I think it's really important that this gets out there. So, but bottom line is the Russian government has all these blackmail tapes, but I would argue that probably every single government has the ability to have a spy, probably has copies of blackmail tapes like this, if not these. And I had Michael Letts on, who's he's CIA. I'm almost positive. I point blank asked him if he was CIA, and he didn't deny it on air. But he was born and raised in Puerto Vallarta, and that's where the drug trafficking big thing that just happened a couple weeks ago in Mexico. And he was raised there. He knew people that were part of cartel leaders now. They were his buddies growing up, but his dad was a minister down in Mexico, but he's intelligence. He's an officer. He claims he's, part of the police officer kind of military thing. And he has an organization that helps trafficked kids, and they have an actual, he says they have a ranch now because so many of the kids, of the 15,000 kids that they saved, they were realizing that they were all going back into the system, and that, both sides of the both sides are dirty. Like the CIA is dirty. Or can I say the CIA plays both sides, and the system plays both sides, right? And so I asked him, how many of these children that you rescued of the 15,000 went back into the system? He said 9,000 of his kids went back and got trafficked.
Is that out of economic necessity, is you think?
Well, I think that, we talked about that too, about, because I had Mark Fincham on, I've had multiple people on about what's happening in Arizona, and they claim that if the drug trafficking, which human trafficking is tied, it's the same routes, it's the same people, same tunnels are doing the human trafficking as the drug trafficking, except human trafficking is more profitable. So they make more money off of this. They claim that if this stuff goes away, that the entire economy of Arizona will collapse. I think that's BS. Yeah, that's how, yeah. And I think it's BS in the sense that that would be enough of a reason to keep it going. And I think that if you get bring in good finance people and you help it, but if you look at the areas that a lot of this money is in, there's a lot of investment in those local communities. A lot of those new things, a lot of those new developments are on the blood and tears of people
Yeah.
who, I'm sorry, guys.
Let me share with you something about Arizona, okay? I've been approached by four people that have pretty high positions in the GOP in Arizona, and this is in the last 2 weeks. Two of them both came to me individually. One couple came to me, but two of them told me, well, all four of them told me, we've been infiltrated by Zionist interests, and TPUSA is putting people in the GOP in prominent positions, and they're kicking out people who are really America first, true America first. But then two of them individually told me the cartel sits on the sidelines while these groups do their work, and it's a uniparty in Arizona. And I agree. The problems we've had politically in Arizona have mostly come from the GOP, not from the Democrats. And so when you talk about Arizona collapsing if these illicit trade and trafficking factors are taken away, there is some legitimacy to believe that, but I wouldn't say the economy is going to collapse. But I'm going to say there'd be a major restructuring of criminal organizations.
It would be extremely difficult, and a lot of what keeps the economy afloat is that money and the capital flowing in. But I just don't buy it as a reason not to fix it. You know what I mean? When there's rot at its core, long term, it's a house of cards, and that you fixing that and healing from that in the long run will be better. It will be difficult, though, as Andy Shechtman says. It's like crawling through the Shawshank Redemption, how Andrew Dufresne had to crawl through a tunnel of shit to get out of the prison. He says it's the same thing. We have to crawl through a tunnel of shit to get to the other side. And I think that's what Arizona would have to go through to fix it. I think it's that entwined into your economy over there.
It's beyond fixing. There's even been people who have been excommunicated politically through the last few years that are making their way back into Arizona politics by joining the other side. Namely, with the help of TPUSA.
Oh, geez.
Yeah.
What?
I'll just give you one example, okay? TPUSA. I could belabor the point, but I'll just make it real brief. A state senator named Jake Hoffman received from TPUSA with money that was illegally transferred from a 501c3 nonprofit to a political, you can do 50% political activity to a 501c4. It's illegal to transfer money because the donations came into the C3. $4.5 million paid out of the C4 to a UPS drop box at a strip mall in Queen Creek, Arizona, to State Senator Jake Hoffman. Okay, this is well documented. There's no question what I'm telling you. And Jake Hoffman's business, 110 LLC, has a one-page website. It hasn't been modified in 5 years. It's not registered on Google, so you get no listing if you search for it. And his email address for the business ends in .io. He doesn't want to be found. And do you see what I'm saying here? I mean, it
Yeah, I do. That's
doesn't
the kind
make
of corruption.
that
Yeah.
just tells you. And so when these Arizona people are telling me who were in the GOP, this is how corrupt it is. Well, this is we're finding this out with TPUSA that's heavily into Arizona politics. In fact, their CFO at TPUSA is another state senator who has no finance experience. Yet he's the CFO of an organization worth hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah, right.
I
Yeah,
know.
that's where you can't. You can, after being in this industry for a while, I can start identifying. I'm not always 100% right, but I can identify a CIA crafted or an intelligence crafted resume that's not real. They overdo it usually, or it doesn't match the person's abilities. So you start to see when it's a crafted persona. It starts to be obvious.
Sometimes they can fool you because they recruit the other side and flip them with money or some other kind of
Yeah, that's
weaponry.
different. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
But okay, so the other thing is that I had Michael Letts on, which I was telling you about, and he was telling me that when they took down the cartel, the El Mencha, who is the leader of the cartel, they also got the Black Book. And the Black Book
I've heard
has
this.
the names, the children, children's and what they were ordering leaders around the world. And I would say it might not be world leaders as much as leaders around the world who are enabling this practice to thrive. It makes sense. And I wrote a Substack article. I said, okay, because some people said, sir, this is propaganda or a psyop. I said, well, you know what? I'm not sure if it is. And let me go through the thinking of this and why you can critically think through this that they could probably be true. Okay. And they probably already have this information anyway, is our intelligence, but there's a probably a book that exists. And human trafficking and drug trafficking are tied together. Human trafficking is more profitable for these cartels than drug trafficking. And if you're taking the leader of the largest Mexican cartel down, likely you have access to, when you took him down and killed him, you probably got access to his files. Okay. So that exists. Now, they probably had access to the files before then. I don't always buy that you have to do that to get access to it. I think we have too much surveillance technology not to know already who's doing this activity. But the bottom line is, taking this cartel leader down, you would get access to who they were selling and who they weren't. I
Don't
thought that was
forget
pretty
gun
interesting.
running. That's the third tier of
Yeah.
this. That's there. It's a triumvirate. Kids, drugs, guns.
Yep. And if you're taking the leader of the largest cartel down, that's what they were doing. Where I would agree that the PSYOP exists is that they should already, would based on surveillance, have a lot of that information, but getting to the source of it's probably all written down. It's probably not electronic. It's they're very careful on trying to get around, the surveillance because they know that's going on. So possibly this is a much richer data set.
Well, it kind of if kids were gold, they're telling you where the gold fields are.
That's right.
Yeah.
These are kind of a big deal, and taking down. And so what we were watching when people were saying, oh, it was just hyped up on the media and things, and there really wasn't any, what we were watching is a power vacuum being trying to be filled. And so there wasn't the Mexican government against a cartel or anything. It was more of power vacuum being filled. And then also they gave, because the Mexican government wasn't playing ball, and they gave them some ins. You got to listen to that. People need to go listen to that. It's a pretty remarkable interview. It was, the timing of it was pretty incredible. Right after I did the John Mark Dugan, when the Russian government got the control of those videos, to that was pretty incredible. And I had my website taken down. John Mark Dugan is on the EU sanction list, so me doing any kind of business with them would be a federal crime. And so I'm like, okay, I'm not. He's helped me with my website in the past. I don't pay him. We don't. I don't do any of that. I'm like, okay, John, I can't have you. And so we've set it up so that I don't pay him anything, and nothing goes in. But my website went down because I was affiliated with him, and he was put on the EU sanction list because of the videos that he had.
Wow.
Yep. And other things, I don't
I
know.
understand
They
why you're
have.
saying what you're saying because I know that without mentioning names, some people have tried to link you to this. And by
Yeah, I mean, I'm
direct
not.
accusation, I've read it. Direct accusation. And I'm glad that you're clarifying that for the record.
Well, yeah, and he's a source of mine. He's somebody that I've stayed in contact with for a reason. I mean, for God's sake, as a journalist, he's one of the best sources you can possibly get. He's went into went during the Ukraine war. He did a documentary that was aired on OAN that was behind enemy lines, showing where the bioweapons labs were and all sorts of things going on in Ukraine. I mean, this guy has done a lot. He also, I worked with him on the Burisma situation, where he had the chief financial officer was ready to speak. She was going to come on my show and speak, and GoFundMe, they raised money for her. And they needed her name before they were going to release the money. As soon as they released her name, she was within 12 hours, they came, attacked her, sodomized her, left her for dead, took all the records that she had. He went in with a mercenary army and got her out of there. And she had two kids, and she was in the hospital in Russia for a week. And
Really?
then she wouldn't speak. Yeah. So, and what she had on that was the Burisma thing had, people from both sides of the aisle and people from both sides of the ocean involved in a money laundering blackmail scheme with Burisma. And that was the Hunter Biden situation. So these are the kinds of things that I was working with him on. So he is at the pinnacle in the EU. He's on the EU sanction list because he was doing this stuff. And then my affiliation with him, because he was helping when my website went down. Back in 2020, he helped get my website back up. And so that's all he did was, because that's what he did for whistleblowers. He did it for me, is making sure my website was running. And so now my affiliation, I'm like, okay, John, I gotta make sure that anything I pay, it goes directly to the hosting companies and not to you, because I can't transact money with him. He can be my source. I'm a journalist, but I can't transact with him. So I just want to clear that up, because I don't want to be in any kind of hot water of doing anything that's a federal crime.
I hear you. That's because he's on the sanction list. Am I hearing that right?
Because he's on the EU sanction list. Yep, he just got placed on it.
Okay, so why do does
Because I
EU
didn't know why
regulation?
my well, I didn't know why my website went down, and then I started putting the dots together of what was going
Yeah,
on.
but I don't see how that'd be a crime in the United States if it's EU sanctioned.
I don't know. I'm going to look in if it's part of NATO, if it's EU sanctioned, then it's a crime in the EU. Do we honor those sanctions? I don't know. I just learned about this
That's
like
it. Yeah, that you might be right on that. You could be. I was actually trying to get on your Substack to find it just now. I can't get on it.
what do you mean you can't get on my Substack?
I can't go to your Substack.
Yeah, but it might be you. It might not be. Let me
Yeah, it
see.
could be. No, it could be me. Yeah, I've had trouble for 3 days now.
No, my Substack's up. It's
That's
you.
funny.
I'm like, no, it better not be me. I'm sick of being targeted. I am in a lawsuit against Google and the US federal government that I just filed last week. So I'm
Well, let's talk about that. You filed a lawsuit. Okay. By the way, you know how I feel with all this interference in my communication? I feel like I'm at the prom and no one will dance with me. That's how I'm feeling now, you know?
like that for 5 years. That's an awesome analogy. Oh, but yeah, so I filed a lawsuit. Well, what happened? I think I've told you. I'm not sure. I know we've talked about it behind the scenes. I don't think we've talked about it publicly, where my I've always cut off. I call it the day the internet died, during that time in October 2020, where all of a whole bunch of people got kicked off all the same day, right? Which was
Yeah,
kind of
yeah, yeah.
It was kind of beautiful in the sense that it was so obvious it was an operation, right? And then the same, within minutes of us kicking them off, they switched out their service agreement too. It's like, come on, you violated your service agreement and put up a new one the moment you took it down. So, anyways, we sued them. And then it ended up going to the Ninth Circuit. There was a group of 15 of us, and we had more views than the entire mainstream media did. We counted up all of our views online, and it was more than the mainstream media had on cable. That's why they took us down. And we went to the Ninth Circuit, and they lied and said that I helped, or I actually was the one running the lawsuit. I was facilitating it. And Google lied and said that they were not coerced by the federal government. They acted alone. And then what came out in the Senate committees in this October was the Spalding letter, where they admitted to being coerced by the US government in the Senate. And so it's like, well, you just lied. And they were gonna reinstate all the channels that got caught up in the political, because they realized, they said it was a political thing with COVID and the election interference, which I was clearly one of those. And so then my channel got put back. But there was a process for a good year where I wasn't not allowed to be put on. All of my shows that got taken, or all of the shows that got strikes or taken down, were all medical related, with MDs or PhD people, all board certified people or PhDs, and they were taken down. And they tried to, they put me back up, and then they took me down 2 days later. This was in 2024. And they took me 2 days later and said that I'm taking, this time it was for harassment and bullying. Well, who was I harassing and bullying?
They just
Every
make
single,
up that crap. Yeah,
they were just, they were made, that's our point. You're just making crap up. And anyway, so then my thing came back up. But during that time, I had four impersonation channels, of which two were publishing all of my, or one was publishing all of my work, two were monetized. Meanwhile, we couldn't get those channels down. And I went through, I talked to the customer service. I did the formal DMCA process, five certified letters, couldn't get it down. I had to write three letters for my attorney. Two were ignored, not until the third one, where I said I was going to sue. But at that point, I also had porn star relation. When you went to the Google search,
Oh, Sarah, I didn't know that.
I thought I
No,
told you, Google
I'm
search.
kidding. I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just
I thought
kidding.
I told. No, yeah, I know. Okay, now I
I'm
get the
casting
joke.
sarcastic aspersions. Anyway,
Well, I had people say, well, at least porn stars are not looked down upon anymore. I'm like, come on. According to research, actually, if a journalist is affiliated with a porn star, I've learned all sorts of porn material, or like explicit material, it discredits you by like 80% discredit. I mean, it's really bad. But anyways,
Well, I'm
all of
sure it
the
wasn't for fear porn.
Well, all of the
Well, we do that
impersonation,
well. We do
we
that well.
do. I'm
I'm
really
so
good at that. So when you did first page search results, came up was all the fake channels and then all these porn star references on Google's first page search. So if you did Sarah Westell podcast, that's how it came up. And I'm like, how does that even possible that porn crap comes up on the first page and with my name attached to it? Google Safe Search, it's been in operation for a couple decades, filters all that out so the public doesn't get any of that porn stuff on its front page. So that didn't work in my case. And I asked Gemini, I'm like, how in the world could this not work? Gemini said that the only way it couldn't work is if they took it down themselves. It was a
Really?
manual override. Yeah. And it's essentially, and then it gave the people the chance. They opened the gates so that somebody could do an attack on me. And then that's when all the porn stuff came out. And there was this porn star confessions that they related to me. They related to me, which was on, there's worse stuff that they related, but that was on Rumble. That was just like porn stars talking about their career. And they had my name by all this stuff. And Rumble's in a lawsuit with Google because they won't put up any Rumble videos. But suddenly, on my name, on the front page of Google, they put up all these Rumble videos with me. There were other videos or other things that were up that, like, I can't even repeat it. It's too offensive to repeat here.
I understand.
That there is no way that kind of language would get by Google's Safe Search unless something happened or somebody. I mean, it's just such a
Sure.
simple filter. Yeah. And so they put me in a position where I had to sue them. I was unlike the other guys and our other people in our lawsuit, where they just wanted their channel back. They weren't getting attacked like I was on the front page of Google. And we knew that that porn stuff was, I had Renette Zenim of California videotape it for me, because I wanted to see if other places around the country, people in Texas and California and then in Minnesota, it was everybody. And then I had another person on their cell phone when she was in Sacramento, another place in California. It was coming up everywhere for people. So it wasn't just like it was only me that was seeing it. It was all of these people. And it was up for at least 2 weeks. I don't know how long it was up after, before I identified it, but from the point I identified it until it was taken down, it was 2 weeks. And so it must have been up, I don't know how much longer before we identified it. But think of it, first page Google search results, that's what came up on me.
That's amazing. If you were to make a guess as to an order of the topics that they were trying to, well, why they came after you, okay, what would you guess it to be?
I think probably the blackmail is the number one reason why they
Are you
came
talking
after
about
me.
Epstein blackmail?
I think just when I first introduced the book with James Rothstein, who took down more the pedophiles, and his informant was Roy Cohn, who was a notorious guy in New York that knew Donald Trump, supposedly was Donald Trump's mentor,
Is this
and
the
Rothstein.
Rothstein crime family?
No, it's a different. He
Okay.
was a detective out of Minnesota, and they took down all these pedophiles together. Roy Cohn flipped at the end and started helping on orphanages because he was born into, this is according to Rothstein, okay? He was born into this horrible orphanage where he was used as a blackmail subject. And then he grew up, he became a powerful attorney and then was blackmailing everybody himself. And that's who Donald Trump. In the 80s, Donald Trump, it was Donald Trump's mentor, but that was the time, this is the information I got, okay, that was the time that he was Rothstein's informant, and they were taking down people everywhere. They were, and was very well, Rothstein is very well respected inside the intelligence communities, to the point where Robert David Steele sent me an email when I was, because I was, I did like a 6-part series with him where I just went to his house and did hours of interviews with him. And I got all this information, and I get this email from Robert David Steele, like he was this little kid asking me what he was like. And I mean, he was such a legend. He was looked up to him so much. And I'm like, okay. And I'm glad I had my husband come with me at first because I was like, oh my God, what am I getting into? But he was like a teddy bear. He was, but when it came to the bad guys, like the reason he was so respected and he had so many sources on the ground is because he treated the prostitutes and everybody who's on the ground, the victims, with utmost respect. He never double-crossed them. He'd get a call. He told me this one story where he got a call from somebody that there was a prostitute being beaten up in this hotel room. He came, and all the people heard were all these gunshots, and he came out with him and the prostitute, and that was it. Everybody else was killed. It's like, okay. He's like, I didn't mess around. And everybody knew he wasn't going to mess around, but he treated the victims and the people on the ground with utmost respect. And that's why he had so many informants. He had informants everywhere because everybody respected him. And it was an interesting story, but I think that is what got me on the radar first. And then I think the second thing is that I think I'm a voice they do not want out there. I think my background in tech, being on the forefront of tech, I think my background in business, teaching at a university, one of the top universities in the country. And I also think that my ability to work at the edge of change, like see kind of what's happening at the edge of change, and I'm not just looking at history. This happened in history, and this I'm looking at what's happening now and where the markets are going, where the country's going, where the world's going. And I kind of have some intuitive abilities to do some of that. I think they do not like that about me either.
No, I agree. I'm hoping you can hear me clearly.
I can.
Okay, because I'm on my control board right now, and I'm trying to make sure that the sound stays within regular levels because I saw some spikes.
Oh,
Well, I know
okay.
what happened when I was interviewing Catherine Albrecht yesterday. So she couldn't even understand me by the end of the show. That's why if you wonder what I'm doing here with my mouse, I'm monitoring the sound levels and trying to keep them in check.
Well, I think with the war going on and everything escalating, I think people like me and you are being targeted more. I think my lawsuit is actually more of a cover than, it helps me a little bit because I have attorneys, but I tell people I didn't have a choice. They made me sue them. I either stay in this industry and sue them, or I stop doing what I'm doing because they decided they were going to completely defame me, and it became obnoxious. But during that process of learning and doing all the research for it, we really put numbers behind the economic hit that they're doing to people and the control that they have, not just on free speech. This is beyond, way beyond free speech. This is about controlling the entire economy and deciding who gets to make money and who doesn't. And it's really serious. And
On
I
how they
don't,
make it too, don't forget that.
yes, it's incredibly serious. And people need to realize that this is about freedom itself and free enterprise. And it's really incredible. And the fact that they're hiding behind Section 230, which was the original intent, and if they just would follow the law, was actually pretty good. It was basically saying that they should be able to have a free marketplace of ideas and that you can't go after them because, like, the people want to go after because you simply don't have the same ideas. You don't get to go after them because something on their platform you don't agree with. It has to be a free market of ideas. And if they just would implement it like that, and then porn and things like that would be off limits. But then, and maybe come up with different ways to allow users themselves to be able to say what they want to see. They would just implement it as written. It would be beautiful, but they're not. They're using it as a full blanket immunity to be able to commit any crimes they want. I mean, to control the economy. And this is the first, our lawsuit will be the first, and it's a landmark case because it's the first in US history, US law history, where we make the case that the Ninth Circuit is so structurally biased that they're incapable of giving a fair trial
That's
in this
true.
case.
I would agree with that assertion about them.
Yeah, and that we filed in DC and they're going to try to throw it back to California because it's captured, and we're saying that it cannot go to California because it's so structurally biased, and we have 2 decades of case law and what happened, 2 decades of cases to prove that they will not allow justice to be served or even investigated in that court system. And that if we want to have a free country, that court system needs to be fixed, and we cannot be in it for this case.
Wow. This is absolutely phenomenal stuff for the level of harassment. Well, I'll tell you, Sarah's not paranoid, and I'm going to just be honest. And Sarah, I hope that you take something from what I'm going to say here too. With my conflict with TPUSA and it becoming TPUSA 2.0, 180 degree turn away from Charlie, and some of the things that I've helped expose. I know there's an element of danger. And so when I spoke it, I wouldn't speak, I had an appearance for a financial company I represent for Iron Hawk Financial. And they asked me to come do a 3-hour appearance at this big trade show. And I did, but I also took security. And while we were there with the security, my guy saw a couple things that were very suspicious. Let's put it this way. I was under surveillance. There is no question. So I'm going to say to all of us who are in this business, this is now the time for maximum self-protection. In fact, Paul Preston and I have had the same discussion a few days ago. So we absolutely need to make sure, because Sarah, when they're doing this to you and they're interfering in my communications, we're over the target and we're at a critical time in America right now. America is going to pivot one way or the other right now. And it could pivot to a very dark place. And if those people are the ones in control, we're their opposition, and that puts us in harm's way.
Oh yeah. I mean, these kind of people get in power without any kind of check, it's going to be bad. But can I
Well,
give a plug? Can I give a plug of people to help me fund this? I funded the entire beginning and the entire this entire case so far. But going from people just like, Sarah, you're like taking on the federal government and Google and Alphabet. You need to have help if we get further in this. And everything that I do is going to help other cases. My lawsuit is with Jeff Graybar, and he and I have other people that are helping consulting on this that have been working on this for over a decade in this area. And there's big, like Mike Adams is in it, has him as his client. A lot of the disinformation doesn't. There's some really big names that have been working on him in the sense of, working with him in the censorship. And they decided to use my case as this first landmark case because it's pretty clean. It's so freaking obvious what they're doing. But the thing is that everything that I do is going to help other cases. And that we could really, really appreciate the help on this and raising some money. And if my case ends up not using it, every dollar is going to go towards helping the next case. And we're going to learn from each one. And we are going to solve this because we don't have a choice in this country. We have to do something about this. It's too big of a deal. It's harming us. It's an entirely, they're taking away our entire constitution through technology that people don't understand.
That's, I totally agree. Fourth Amendment is gone.
Yep. And
And
we, yep. Go
you're
ahead.
totally right. How can people go to a place where they can contribute and help you?
Go to Give, Send, Go, and Gov Coercion is the name of it. So
And go.
givesendgo.com/endgovco. It's supposed to be end government coercion, but we made it smaller. End GOV coercion. And then you'll see my press release. You'll see more details about what this case is specifically about. And we're trying to raise money. And any money that you can give, I'd really appreciate it if you could share the case with others. Our goal is to get to discovery so that we will win with discovery, with transparency, and they will do everything they can to make sure that nobody knows what they've been doing and that we deserve to understand.
Well, I'm hopeful you're right about the discovery. I'm looking at the Pam Bondi case right now. Not only did she transfer money in connection to Epstein, both to suppress witness testimony and I think for personal profit, I think that's where this is headed. But what's interesting is they are refusing to honor FOIA requests. This is really interesting, and I have a feeling that if the government's involved in this with Google and with Facebook, or Meta as they're calling now, I have a feeling they're going to put national security on this and keep discovery from being full bore.
Well, if that's the case, then I don't know. They're going to have to do. There's going to be something there. They can't say you're screwed. We can defame you. We can do everything we can, and it's going to be kept under national security. And meanwhile, you're going to be defamed and treated like shit. Well,
Well, I hear you. I hear
you
you.
know. It, so we're going to have to. We're going to have to see. It's like, I don't know. And they shouldn't be able to hide behind national security to do criminal activities against people and journalists. I mean, this is our government. We're really at a crossroads in this country. You know?
Yeah, this is not new. But it's new in terms of the scope. I'm going to say this: USC 50, Section 32, no longer in existence because they had to change it. They put it under the NDAA, but that was we can do experiments on civilian populations, and we only have to tell one local official. Could have been the frickin' dog catcher. They don't even specify who they have to tell, and so they've done all these experiments on people. This is where they get the MK Ultra people from. I'm serious. And they
I
program for
believe
this and
you.
that and the other. So we've had this ongoing for a while. And if you really get to the roots, I'm going to get your reaction to this. When the OSS became the CIA after World War II, that's when this crap started because the CIA could be clandestine, off the radar. Their coming out party was the murder of John Kennedy. And they use proxy forces to do it, and they've only grown in scope. I think this is who you're dealing with in terms of origins. What do you think?
I think that there are good members and bad members of the CIA because
I
I
agree.
know I have contacts in the CIA that have been talking to me and that seem to be doing good work. And so I've come up to the conclusion that, and that's what Michael Letts said to me on the interview, is that they work both sides. There's incredible evil in the CIA and rogue elements, and then there's also good elements.
I agree.
And so we're dealing and who are fighting them. I think there's wars in the Pentagon. I think there's war in the CIA. I think there's wars in the FBI. I think that they're all fighting each other internally to these organizations right now. And that's why it's so weird to us what we're seeing.
I'm going to ask you a couple more questions before we go, but I'd like to ask you your reaction to something. If you were to put a title on our interview so far, what would you call it?
I don't know. I'd have to think about it.
The
That's hard.
reason I'm framing it this way Because when people walk away from listening to this interview, I think it's you've been very interesting and very informative. But I'm thinking, how can people frame this to where it makes sense? This is what I heard on when Dave and Sarah talked. How would you frame it?
Well, it's the reality of what we're dealing with. I mean, I don't know. It's the true the battlefield, the existing battlefield. I don't know. I'd have to think about it a little bit.
Okay.
That's
I got to think
so
about.
hard. Titles are hard. I spend a lot of time on my titles to make sure that it works and it's informative, and I have AIs help me, and I spend a lot of time.
Which AI do you use for the titles?
You know, I have been using ChatGPT, but I've been disappointed with, I think over the last year, ChatGPT has become, they've changed its parameters. Instead of it being a useful tool, now it's there for the masses. And so it just is kind of an, I've learned how to use it better, but I like Grokma now better than ChatGPT.
Me
And
too.
I like Gemini better than ChatGPT too. I
Really?
just lost your video.
Yeah, I'm working on it. I can hear you though.
Okay, well, Gemini's been giving me all sorts of information. I'm really careful because I'm in a lawsuit, but Gemini's a, and I asked it, why are you so much better than ChatGPT right now? I shouldn't even be promoting Gemini because it's a Google product. But it's because they've made a decision that they're not going to put all these guardrails. They're going to be an actual forensic auditor and do the logic and try to help you be a tool and not worry about the guardrails as much. And so I'm kind of, I th that's the in questions that I went through with them yesterday. And why are you like this? Why am I able to get the information from you and not others? And so I think these AIs you have to be really careful with, because they are constantly rewritten and done in a way to protect you. Really, it's to protect the institutions, because ChatGPT now is defaulting to protect the big, powerful organizations and institutions. It's this consensus idea, which I want to talk to you, but there's this media effect. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. I just,
Okay.
okay. I keep blinking out. I bring back the picture and it keeps blinking out.
Well, there's this, I need to tell you about this organization. It's called Media. You're listed as a quack on there. Conspiracy. It's called MediaBiasFactCheck.com. And oh, I'm up a little bit. I'm not low. I'm not very low. I'm low. You are ranked, I think, very low. Even Donald Trump's ranked very low. But this site
What do you mean by
is
low?
where you can be factual reporting, very high, mostly factual, mixed, low, and very low. You're very low.
Okay. Well, it's nice to
I'm
know.
low.
It's nice to know someone's watching. What's this site? It's called MediaBiasFactCheck.org.
Check.com.
Dot com.
Okay,
Okay.
well, it seems like when I first saw this, I was kind of pissed because I'm like, what the hell? And I'm like, oh, it's just some random dude that's doing something. And it's not. Well, I did some more research on this recently because I was using an AI Claude, and you brought this up. As I said, who's Sarah Westall? I want to see what the AI said about me. I usually do that when I start one because I want to see where they're what their position. And they use this as the thing saying that I'm a conspiracy theorist. I go, where did you get this? And it told me where it got it. And so I started digging in. Why are you using this? And said, well, this one's rated the highest. It's rated the highest amongst many of these fact checkers, libraries. Even Princeton uses this as one of their main, as they'll have like five things that they use, the universities, and Princeton, one of them, that this is one of their main fact checker places that they go to. And it's one of the least, it's the most credible. And I'm like, what the heck? And so this is used by all over the AIs, the libraries, the universities to determine. So all these students are looking at this and they can't use my material because it's considered so low. So it's written off. This is a way that they can disparage you and hurt your career by doing something like this. And in my case, I want to read you a couple of things. This is.
Well, before you go on, I just want to ask you one question. I think this is a paid site, isn't it?
People can donate. I think it's a, they claim that they're independent.
Okay, because I'm trying to log on right now.
Oh, your
I
stuff
can
is all
see how
messed
bad
up.
I am, and it's not letting me put anything in.
No, it's just you, I think. But anyways, I'm up right now on this site, and I went through my stuff and I said, well, how, what is their, what do they use? And they use a consensus. So they, in order to see if somebody's legit, they want to see what a consensus is first. And that's what ChatGPT switched to, is that, well, I'm not going to be consensus. I'm business game changers. I'm on the edge of change. That by definition is an entrepreneurship, the edge of change, where the market's going, where is everything going? This isn't consensus. I'm out of consensus territory. So you can't talk about new technology and any of that. That's just automatically written off as by all universities and libraries as not valid because you're on the edge of change. Unless a specific institution does it, I'm not allowed to. Okay, so that's their consensus. I mean, these are the kinds of things we need to have serious conversations about. But beyond that, they have 3 points that they use to analyze me. And one is I did an article on DARPA's N3 program, which is really well resourced. I quoted Giordano, who is the head of the ethics for DARPA, and he's a neurosurgeon. And everything I did, I quoted them particular, and it was really a well journalistic article. And they say that the site publishes content with a conspiratorial tone, as seen in this article, which suggests that DARPA is using advanced mind control technologies framed to evoke distrust of government agencies. So, because it was framed to evoke distrust of government agencies, that's bad, even though it was really well done. And all of the quotes that create the distrust of the government came from them. I quoted them directly. Okay, beyond that, there's two more points they use to take for me to be bad. I republished an article from the Brownstone Institute, who is rated a lot higher than I am. And it wasn't even an article from us. It was from another organization that I reposted. And that was another thing that they said was bad because it discussed the alleged plans for quarantine camps
Yeah.
across the US. Okay. Then the last one that they used, failed fact checks, was by a person that by another site, totally unrelated to us, not even on the website. That's and then so now I so it has the fact check that they say is wrong isn't even by me. It's or by our my site. It's completely a different website by a completely different person. And so I emailed them and I tried to get this stuff corrected, at least that, and you can't even get through to these people, right? So that's what they use across universities, top universities, libraries, AI systems to denigrate people like us and to make it harder for us to make a living doing our job.
Yeah, well, I'm
This
on
hurts our
here
ability
and
to make a living. And who the hell are they?
they call me a tinfoil hat.
Yeah, you're a tinfoil hat. But mine, it's like it's not even real information. You should go through. They just. If you're going to have an opinion on me, use at least the stuff that was from me on my site.
Well, I'm looking at you right now. You're not as bad as I am. But they have you down for quackery with science and tinfoil hat with conspiracy level. And I'm ranked very low. You're ranked low.
Yeah, I know. You were ranked even lower than me.
I know. I just, you know what?
You are terrible.
I know if we would put our gene pools together, our children would probably be Himmler.
It would be bad.
Oh my gosh, this is Sarah, this is so funny. See, this is like a pseudo sophisticated Snopes type of website.
Well, it would be funny until I just thought, oh, it was just a one-off bunch of idiots doing this until I realized that the majority of libraries and universities and AIs use this as a reference. That became a problem.
How do you know they use this as a reference? Because
Because
this is.
I have it on the top. I'll show you. Well, I can send you a link. It's right on Princeton's website. I had Claude, who was the one that said I asked him to bring up all these different places, library systems. Claude used it, but Princeton, I had like three different universities immediately came up that it showed me. I didn't do a deep dive yet into the whole network that's been using it, but I know that a bunch of universities use it in a bunch of libraries just right away.
Okay. Well,
And I was,
They haven't ranked me since 2023. How about you?
I think it got triggered when I did the DARPA article. This tells me it's a deep state operation
Yeah,
to discredit
you're right. It
people.
says right here they go through your DARPA article and they basically say you were insane.
Yep. And that article was really well done. I want people to read it. Tell me what's journalistically wrong about that.
Yeah, I like this one though. Failed fact checks. Okay, this article you wrote. Woman found dead in the Arkansas River linked to the suspicious death of former Clinton advisor Mark Middleton. I guess they have never heard of the Clinton body trail.
Well, but click on that. That wasn't even written by me, and it's not even on my website.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It's written by Sarah Thompson.
I don't even know who she is. So why is, and then I tried to email them to correct it, and there's no accountability and nobody that you can talk to.
Well, to me, that's pretty obvious what's going on, Sarah. It's just a hit piece done by the deep state. They called both of us anti-establishment. What they should accurately say is anti-deep state. That's
That's right. We're
that would
against
be accurate.
criminals. We're against criminals, and we want you to stop acting this way.
Yeah. Okay. So this is the first I've heard about this. So what they do is they go to universities and discredit you so people won't touch you with a 10-foot
No,
pole.
no, no. The universities use this site as a source for their students to see if a and whoever's there. To be able to fact check all these online sites
I
as whether
see.
you're a legit, so it's a gatekeeping thing so that their students won't look at our material as credible.
Who else is involved in getting this material besides universities?
Libraries and AIs, online AIs, and some browsers too. The browsers are using it because it brings up warnings.
Is this part of your lawsuit?
No, this is something I learned later because I'm suing Google, and
See,
this is a separate.
I think this is defamation, though.
Well, this is, yeah, it is, but it's a different group of people. Well, maybe not the different group, but I mean, it's not Google, YouTube. It's a whole nother can of worms here.
Well, last month, not bragging, but I had 1.5 million on my YouTube and we added over 15,000 subscribers. So I don't think their hit piece on me is working very well.
Well, are you still getting the views on YouTube?
I'm around 1 million so far this month on pace for about 1.1 million.
That's great though. I mean, that's about what I do on Rumble.
And I'm shadow banned. I mean, there's no, I know about that. I mean,
You would have hundreds of millions of views on YouTube if they just let you be you, and they can't.
well, I get a disproportionate amount of comments compared to the views. When I look at other big channels, okay, my percentage is far higher than theirs is, which means more people are finding interesting enough to comment, but the views are low compared to a lower percentage of people commenting on bigger channels. And so to me, that says shadow banning. And I actually asked Grok that question and it agreed with me.
Oh yeah, ask Gemini. Gemini is kind of an interesting character.
It really is. We got about 1.5 minutes left. I wanted to make sure that people can follow your good work. Okay, you're such a bad girl. Here very low credibility.
I'm just the lowest. You better not follow me. Go to sarahwestall.com and sign up for my newsletter. You'll get that there, and also. Help my end government coercion. So go to givesendgo.com
Absolutely.
slash
Give, send,
n.
go. What is the exact URL?
Dot
givesendgo.gov
com.
coercion.
givesendgo.com slash
Got
n
it.
gov coercion.
ngovco. Okay, I got it. I'll put that out for you and I'll repeat it a few times. What's the time frame of your lawsuit? We got about 30 seconds.
It was filed last week. And so
Okay.
now it's just, this is us raising money for us being able to handle the next wave that's coming in. This is a long, it was like an 800 page document. It was a whopper.
I got to tell you, I'm going to follow this and I'm going to publicize this. I would suggest too that you get with Sam Anthony from Your News, who's going to be the new media, And I would give this stuff to Sam Anthony and let him keep running it.
I'll send it to him.
Yeah, in fact, I just talked to him a few days ago. Well, Sarah, it's been great having you on. Good luck with the lawsuit. We're certainly going to follow and support you on this. And would you please be more kind to the establishment, deep state, so they stop bad mouthing you, okay?
Well, I don't want to be positioned as a porn star. I told Andy Schechman that, and he goes, "Well, Sarah, that's a good thing that you're at least porn stars aren't looked down upon
Well,
anymore." And I said, "No." And then Stacy, my publicist, started laughing. Everybody was laughing. I'm like, "I'm horrified." And then my attorney's like, "I'm so sorry, Sarah, that I wasn't more." He's like, "It was so bad." He knew I was like the 2 weeks that it was up, I was mortified. He goes, "I'm so
imagine if they
sorry."
did this to me, Dave Hodges, porn star,
What they do to men is
and my
different.
views would go up because it would be a comedy routine.
Yeah,
Anyway,
but what
Sarah.
they, I've, one last thing, what they do to men is they make them into pedophiles. They make women into porn stars. I lost my camera.
Okay. I don't run fast enough to be the latter. Anyway, Sarah, thanks for coming on.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks, Dave.
Talk to you later.